friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The World Athletics Championships begin Saturday in Budapest, Hungary. Our longtime athletics reporter, the energetic Andy Edwards, has been covering the sport for nearly 25 years on the Sunny Side of Sports. Andy has also been casting his eyes over the prospects for African success in Budapest, and he joins us now. Sporty greetings, Andy!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. I have indeed, and think it would be fair to say that Budapest, the latest edition in the World Championships, which began 40 years ago in Helsinki, bids fair to bring a rich crop of medals for Africa. Not only in the accustomed middle and long distance events, but spread further around the athletics firmament. Take the sprints, for example. Akane Simbine of South Africa has been a consistent performer in the 100 for a few seasons now, reaching finals but missing out on medals. He's in good form again, but the outstanding prospect is Ferdinand Omanyala of Kenya. We're so used to Kenyans among the dominant figures over the longer distances, but now here is one, the African record holder. A while ago, he spoke with our Sunny Side of Sports colleague, Prince Nesta, about his path to eminence.
Of course, the talent is there, but then there's nothing you can achieve without hard work and without patience and without the discipline that it deserves. And it has just paid this year. I started running in 2016. So it's been building up of a lot of things, sleepless nights, going home late, pain, injuries. But then it was just building me up towards this season. So it's been hard work, discipline, consistency, and a lot of sacrifice in between, plus talent now.
Omanyala has yet to reach a global final, but the Commonwealth champion in the 100 is growing in experience, and this could be his year for a medal. The American Fred Curley is the defending champion and an impressive talent at all the sprint distances and has experience in abundance. Also sub 10 seconds this year for Africa is Emmanuel Esime of Cameroon. Among the women, the outstanding African hope is Marie-Josée Talou of the Ivory Coast. Very experienced, twice a silver medalist at the World Championships and unbeaten in 10 races in the 100 this season.
Andy, one name you have yet to mention is Letsile Tebogo of Botswana, last year's world junior champion in the 100 meters. How do you rate him for Budapest, Andy?
He's showing even better form this year, breaking the African record over 200 metres when finishing second to the American world champion Lyles in London. And that's where we spoke, and I was struck by his confident, assured tone.
I'm in the final. Everything is possible. I'm not going to say I'll get a medal, but I'm not going to say I will not get the medal. But it's everybody's game in the final. So there are mistakes there, that which if one makes mistake, you have to keep it.
Lyles has looked superb this season, and Britain's Zarnell Hughes has broken the long-standing national record. But Letsile Tebogo has a strong chance of medals.
Andy, we would expect medals for Africa from the middle and long-distance events, but on the women's side, there's the fascinating prospect of Kenya's Faith Kipyegon, who has broken three world records this season, against Sifan Hassan from the Netherlands, a double Olympic champion who has entered three events in Budapest. Andy, are you willing to pick the winner for us?
Sifan Hassan is extraordinary, but so is Faith Kipyegon. So I'm inclined to hedge my bets for the moment. World records in the 1500, the mile and 5,000 metres in one outdoor track season so far show how good is Faith Kipyegon. Yet Sifan Hassan has this mercurial talent. Just when you think she might have taken on too much, she confounds us. She did the Olympic double at 5 and 10,000 in Tokyo, plus a bronze in the 1500. And then came that debut win in the marathon in London this April, when most onlookers thought injury would force her out well before halfway. The reason I might just tip my hat towards Faith Kipyegon is that Hassan is also preparing for her second marathon, this time in Chicago in October. The question is, has that training blunted her speed for the shorter track races, where Faith Kipyegon has looked to be on a different planet to everyone else? Here's Sifan Hassan after the 5,000 metres in London, where she broke the European record and finished third behind the winner, Gudaf Segai of Ethiopia.
I don't know which distance is, but it really helped me because I have done some 5,000 metres in America, and it was not really good, and I thought, you know, the marathon impacted me a lot, and I didn't have confidence I would run this time, but I know I will go hard and I'm really Dutch and English.
Do you think you need to?
I need to make myself tired, and I did. I'm so grateful.
We should certainly not discount other contenders, such as Gudaf Segai, who goes in the 10,000, and her Ethiopian compatriot Letezenbet Gide. On the men's side, Norway's Jakob Ingebrigtsen is the current world champion at 5,000 and fears no one, including the best of the Africans. Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei, the Olympic champion, hasn't looked at his best this year. I am impressed, though, by Berihu Aregawe this season. He has strong finishing speed, and the Ethiopian would be one of my picks.
Picking some of the top Africans to watch in Budapest. That's the energetic Andy Edwards. I'm talking with Andy about the upcoming World Athletics Championships. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Andy, whatever the outcome of the men's 400 meters final, if the South African Wade Van Niekerk can be there ready on his blocks, it would be a huge achievement for the world record holder after a knee injury that threatened to end his career 6 years ago. Your thoughts?
What a story it is. The South African has broken the world record, was a double world champion, and only in his mid-20s appeared capable of equaling the all-round achievements of the great Michael Johnson over 400 and 200 metres. He's definitely back and in contention. The Olympic champion, Stephen Gardner from the Bahamas, could be his main rival, though Zambia's Muzala Zamukonga, the Commonwealth champion, might spring a surprise. Yet there is a sense of purpose about Wade Van Niekerk this season that suggests he is ready. Here he is after winning in London last month.
Yeah, it's a constant battle, a bit of injury trauma that comes now and then, but at the same time, having the last few races as references, as a positive reference, getting great victories, getting great momentum. I really have some good wins in the bag these last few competitions. So there's at the moment more to be grateful than to be fearful for. So I'm using all of that to my advantage, and hopefully I can use this to go from strength to strength.
I think it's also worth mentioning a story which has a strong sense of mystery about it. Will Athing-Mo of the USA, the current champion, world champion, in the women's 800, compete? Nothing has appeared certain about her intentions this whole season. She has competed sparely, and her coach, Bobby Joyner-Kersee, has added to the sense of mystery with his pronouncements. If she does not compete, it could well be Kenya's Mary Mora and Keely Hodgkinson of Britain contesting the title.
Andy, still with the ladies in Budapest, the women's 400 meters hurdles doesn't have strong African contenders, but the withdrawal because of injury of the champion, Sydney McLaughlin-Livroni of the USA, casts more spotlight on one outstanding performer from Europe.
Femke Bol of the Netherlands is on her way to becoming one of the greats of one-lap hurdling. She was runner-up to the American last year and is a super talent of both the 400 hurdles and flat. After breaking the European record in London, she reflected on the impact of training during the winter to take 14 rather than 15 strides between each hurdle.
Huge one. I mean, with my 15 stride, I believed I could do 51, but I don't think, we thought I couldn't go much faster than 51.8. And we've been working on a 14 to get faster. And I've been feeling I've been easier the first part, but same fast and way stronger the last part. And then to see today that it works out so well, it's amazing.
The president of World Athletics, Sebastian Coe, has said he believes Budapest has the potential to be a world championship for the ages and that he has never been more optimistic about the sport. Well, we'll have to wait for just over a week to see if that prediction is fulfilled. But the range of talent, the changing of the guard as fresh talent comes through, does make it a fascinating prospect.
Thanks, Andy. That's the energetic Andy Edwards. And Andy was talking with me from London. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe was elected for a third term at the 54th World Athletics Congress in Budapest on Thursday. A total of 192 voting members of Congress voted for Coe, and three abstained. Under the World Athletics Constitution, this will be Coe's final term as World Athletics president.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Top Ghanaian sprinter Benjamin Azumati is injured and will not compete for Team Ghana in Budapest. Joining us now from Accra is Yawafusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Now, Team Ghana has arrived safely in Budapest ahead of the World Athletics Championships, which begin on August 19. The team will be without talismanic athlete Benjamin Azumati, who is out with a groin injury. As a strong member of the team, Azamati's exclusion will be a big blow, but coach Elom Amenakpo says it will not be a problem.
These guys are all determined. They are very focused. They are very ready to compete at the world stage. And the captain, of course, yeah, Joseph Polamong, experience is also going to play a very crucial role for us. As every blessed day, he's talking to the athlete, and we are sucking them that, hey, this is also their opportunity to be the like of Benjamin Azumati and the Jupon. So the boys are ready and very focused.
For the first time in 3 years, Ghana's relay team will have a different look. There's no place for Sean Safuenchi, Joseph Odromenu, and Emmanuel Yeboah, who all could not make the stipulated qualifying times for the competition. The new team includes youngsters Isaac Botio, James Datsi, Raymond French, and Edwin Gadai. They will all be led by top runner Joseph Polamoa, who won bronze in the 200 meters at the Commonwealth Games. Ghana will have Joseph Polamoa in the 200 meters, James Datsi, who has just broken into the top 10 in the world in 200 meters, and others. For coach Amenakpo, Ghana's chances are looking good.
I think he's a big day guy. He also show up in big days. I coach him at West Texas A&M University too. He's always show up big days. And James, if you know James is someone that is very, very, very tough. He has a very tough mind. So I believe in the guys. And then I know come that day, they are going to put up their maximum performance for Team Ghana.
With the team in Budapest currently, Ghana will hope that a medal will come by this time at the World Athletics Championships. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. And for world news, go to voanews.com.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-Minute VOA Newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. England will play Spain Sunday in the final of the FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament in Sydney, Australia. Spain beat Sweden 2-1 in its semifinal, while England defeated co-host Australia 3-1 to reach the final. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
32 teams started the 2023 Women's Soccer World Cup, co-hosted by New Zealand and Australia. Two remain. On Tuesday, Spain defeated Sweden by 2-1 at Eden Park in Auckland to reach its first World Cup final. Spain first qualified for the event in 2015 and will face England, the current European champion, in Sunday's final at Sydney's Olympic Stadium. England defeated co-hosts Australia in front of more than 75,000 supporters in Sydney. It was arguably the biggest match on home soil in the host nation's football history. Australian player Mary Fowler told reporters after the game that it was an honour to play in a team that had inspired the nation.
It was unreal tonight, just like it has been for all the games, actually. It's really nice, even when we're under the pump and we're down by some goals, to hear the crowd get behind us and really try to cheer us on. Not many people get to experience that in their life, being able to play at a home World Cup and really feel the support of the country behind them. So something that, you know, we're all very lucky to be part of.
The Australians, known as the Matildas, had reached the World Cup semi-finals for the first time. Co-host New Zealand failed to advance from the group stage of the competition, where four teams competed in eight sections. The top two countries progressed to the knockout round of 16. Players, both past and present, as well as coaches and administrators, hope that the co-host's World Cup journey will leave a legacy for female sport in Australia and New Zealand. It's hoped the performances of other nations, including Nigeria, Morocco and South Africa, will also promote the sport in other parts of the world. Angela Iannotta, a former Matilda forward who scored Australia's first World Cup goal in 1995, told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that women's football is changing dramatically.
It's quite interesting because I remember when I'm sitting at the airport with the Australian tracksuit and people would say, oh, what are you doing with Australian colours? And I said, oh, I'm playing for the Australian women's football team. Oh, have we really got a national team? So, yeah, and the crowds were like, you know, 100 people, 200 people and things like that. So just to see this change and this growth in women's football in Australia is really unbelievable.
Australia's Matildas play Sweden in the World Cup third and fourth place playoff in Brisbane Saturday. The final takes place between Spain and England in Sydney Sunday. England striker Chloe Kelly told reporters after the semi-final victory against Australia that reaching the final was what dreams are made of. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Coach Micho has named his team for a crucial Africa Cup of Nations qualifying match next month against Niger. Magume Davis Rakawinj reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Uganda Cranes head coach Milutin Sredovic Micho announced the strong 33 men squad of players that play their trade in both domestic leagues and foreign clubs. Micho says the team is a blend of both young and experienced players that will earn Uganda the much needed 3 points against Niger. He's particularly impressed with the return of experienced defenders, most of whom feature in foreign clubs.
We are having Avani back from the injury. We are having Muleme back from the injury. We are having Ochaya back from the injury. We are having new inclusion that are doing well in with Sekaja's New York Red Bull, Kasule Ibrahim and Sebufu Frank, and rest of the players that we are having around that have been already with us. We are having a squad that is best of the best that at present Uganda has.
The talented Ibrahim Kasule has been in fine form since joining the New York Red Bulls II, the reserve team of the New York Red Bulls. Kasule has scored 11 goals for the MLS Next Pro side, netting in 7 consecutive games last month to put his side in fourth place. Micho says he believes his fine form is timely.
In Marrakech, we shall have 3 training sessions only on Monday 4th, Tuesday 5th, Wednesday 6th, and then moment of truth, measurement of value, test of character, and chance to make Uganda proud on 7th of September against Niger in Marrakech Stadium. We are looking to go all out in attack to win that game and to qualify to Africa Cup of Nations.
Over the years, goals have eluded the Uganda Cranes team. The team has so far only managed 3 goals in this campaign and conceded 6, including in a 1-1 draw in the reverse fixture. Sports analyst Patrick Wasaja says it's going to be an easy task for Micho's boys.
We are worried as a country. We don't have strikers who can score many goals on that day. So I think we are going to struggle. To predict, I think we are going to win by a goal to nil. So we are depending on masses of Algeria.
Uganda, third in Group F with 4 points, will host the troubled West African nation in Morocco because the country does not have a FIFA-approved stadium. Already qualified, Algeria with a maximum of 15 points, hosts Tanzania in second place at 7 points, while Niger has only 2 points and cannot qualify. For the Sunday Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. Mugume mentioned Algeria has already qualified for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. The Elephants of Ivory Coast, as the host country, earned an automatic berth. The other teams that have booked their tickets for Ivory Coast are Morocco, South Africa, Senegal, Burkina Faso, Tunisia, Egypt, Zambia, Equatorial Guinea, Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, Cape Verde, Mali, and Guinea. That leaves 9 berths still at stake for Africa's premier football tournament, the Africa Cup of Nations. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the high energy Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a couple of Sunny Side of Sports birthday salutes to two, count them, two former Grand Slam tennis champions. I'm talking about the American Jim Courier, celebrating his 53rd birthday on this Thursday. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Guillermo Villas. Guillermo Villas. I love saying that name. Guillermo Villas from Argentina. Guillermo celebrating his 71st birthday. Certainly two great tennis players celebrating birthdays on this Thursday. With a look at Wednesday's Major League Baseball highlights, here's the AP's Tom Merriam.
The Braves continue to rumble while the Yankees continue to stumble. Atlanta blanked New York for the second straight night, this time 2-0, behind Eddie Rosario's two-run homer and Charlie Morton striking out 10 in 6 shutout innings.
Tonight was about more about just making pitches and then stuff, and then I kind of stepped on it there towards the middle end of the game, and that's, I think, my stuff got a little bit better.
With their fifth straight loss, the Yanks slipped under .500, the first time they have had a losing record this late in the season in 28 years. The NL West leading Dodgers won their 10th straight, routing the NL Central leaders, the Brewers, 7-1. Miguel Rojas' second inning homer gave LA the lead for good.
I think everybody's doing their job, doing their part, you know, like we're playing really good baseball, but we're having fun doing it, you know, like we're playing for each other. It's not kind of the same guy every single night, it's coming from different places.
The Phillies continue to lead the NL wildcard race by snapping a 3-game losing streak, pounding the Blue Jays 9-4. 2 home runs for Bryce Harper.
Hopefully, you know, tonight kind of being a stepping stone into, you know, my weekend as well, and, you know, hopefully just get out there and, you know, give myself some grace as well.
Other NL winners, the Cubs, Reds, Padres, Nationals, Diamondbacks, and Mets. Reed Detmers flirted with his second career no-hitter, keeping the Rangers hitless for 7 1/3 innings as part of a 2-0 win for the Angels.
I wish I would have got it. It would have been cool to have two, but at the same time, it's nice to get back on track.
Shohei Ohtani hit his 42nd homer for L.A. Also victorious, the Mariners, Tigers, A's, and Rays, who beat the Giants behind Brandon Lau's 100th career home run.
It's a pretty cool accomplishment. No matter who you are in the Bay Leagues, 100 home runs is pretty special. So it's great, and we'll take today and be happy with it.
A little more than a week after his team's early elimination from the Women's World Cup, U.S. head coach Vladko Antonovsky has resigned, according to an AP source. Tom Merriam.
Thanks, Tom. And that wraps up the August 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.